Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back here. Continue our look at Penn State football and looking at 2018, the season, the camp ahead, the fact that the freshman class is on campus now, and we're going to take this. Is going to be a little two-parter this week and a couple days from now on that edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to look at the green, yellow, red light situation, forecast who we think is going to fall into those categories. Those, the stoplight designation, red meaning they will not burn their red shirt, yellow, there are different shades of yellow. I guess there may be some orange and some red too, but the different shades of yellow, guys who are in that sort of upward mobile group of yellow who can ascend into the green, which they're going to have the green light to play this season. And then, Greg, of course, before we even get into this conversation, we have to tackle the idea of the new NCAA rule, right, where freshmen can play four games and still keep their red shirt. How does that factor into all this?
Well, that's what James Franklin and quite frankly, coaches all around the country are going to have to figure out is, what do you want to do? Do you want to play guys in the first three games and quote unquote audition them and say, okay, after three games, you're not going to cut it. We're just going to stop playing you and redshirt you. Do you play guys, you know, up to the limit, which is four games, and do you spread those games out? Do you try and play it safe and wait for injuries to pop up and say, okay, well, you know, it might be November and so-and-so got hurt, but guess what? So-and-so freshman is ready to step in and, you know, at least play a role, if not start. So, you know, it's a good thing we didn't play him early in the year because now we can still play him our final three or four games and still have the opportunity to count his year as a redshirt year. So it's a fascinating decision. There's going to be times when the wrong decision's made or a decision looks bad in hindsight, but I'm pretty sure this group of guys knows how to manage the roster just about as well as anyone. And to me, you have a couple games early, Appalachian State and Kent State, that I think you can give some guys some run. And then also later in the year, you have Rutgers and Maryland, where I think you can get maybe some guys in at that point too. So you have at least four games on the schedule and maybe more where you will have the opportunity to maybe give some guys some reps. And keep in mind too that Penn State doesn't always travel the same group of freshmen every single week on road games. So when you go to an Illinois or you go to an Indiana, maybe you do take a couple of guys you think that are close along. And if you get up big, maybe you can get them some run and let them experience what it's like to travel for a game weekend, which is a big part of what Penn State does, obviously, during the course of a player's career. So yeah, there's a lot to consider here and a lot to really sit down and hammer down for Franklin and his staff.
So I can't help but push a conspiracy theory here. All right, so we talked in the previous segment about how college ready weight wise even if it's taken with a grain of salt, what they put out on their first weight number, I just think that Franklin might have had a good sense that this was coming down the pike before it was announced. He might have had a good pulse of the situation and really relayed some urgency to these freshmen. Like, look, whether you keep or burn your red shirt, you need to be ready to see the field if you want to make the most out of whether it's four games or whether it's 12 or 13. If you show up ready, you will get an opportunity because now it's a almost risk-free maneuver for Penn State to give you a little bit of a trial run. But if you're Aeneas Hawkins and you weigh 260 pounds, we're probably not going to be able to do that for you. Like, right. I get, you know, if they're getting there in June, there's going to be 6-7 weeks or whatever before they can – are getting into camp, they can build up. But I just don't feel like it's a coincidence that all these guys are showing up at much heavier and better weights than I expected them to.
Yeah, and it certainly is interesting too that some of these guys are showed up at the start of June, the end of May, the middle of June. You know, there's all these different weird arrival times. Yeah. I'm not sure why exactly they've played out that way, but
it's got to be tied together somehow.
Right. You got to assume that probably played a role as well. So, yeah, when it comes down to it, I just think that Penn State has put itself in the best position it possibly can to get as many guys into the fold as possible as freshmen. But there's going to be guys, too, that, you know, think back to Mike Miranda and how Penn State, you know, pretty much was blunt about the fact that they would have played him had they been able to and not burned the red shirt. That may not have been the case in September. It was certainly the case by the end of October and the start of November. So you're going to have that angle as well where guys come in, don't look ready, but then 2 months from now will be ready. So that's going to be another thing they have to keep in mind, too.
So let's get into the yellow, red, green. I'm putting the colors in a different sequence every time I say the traffic light. But the green category, what do you think usually numbers wise the green category has? Maybe like 5
at
from
most,
year to year.
Yeah.
I think that there are 2 very obvious ones, 1 pretty obvious one, and 1 probable one. And I think the 2 obvious ones to me are Micah Parsons and Justin Shorter.
Yep.
I know Penn State's got depth at wide receiver, but he's so good, Greg. He's obvious to me for that reason. Ricky Slade, pretty obvious, but I think there is a scenario where they love what Mark Allen brings to the table. Journey Brown's better than we realize he is, and Miles Sanders is a workhorse where maybe they feel like they don't need to. But I also feel like if you're going to use him for 1, 2, 3, 4 games early in the season, he's going to show you a lot. So I do anticipate him landing in the green category. And then Jake Pinneger, the kicker, I think is in the probable category. But probable only because he's got to get out there and start making kicks, and whatever pressure situations they simulate in practice, scrimmages, that kind of thing, he's got to respond in those situations. And that's still a big hurdle he's got to clear before he hits that green light category.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Dustin. I mean, I do wonder, too, if Mustafer's not in that category and perhaps Judge Culpepper. But
I think some of these guys are like lime green.
Right.
They're high yellows.
We're just going to start making up somewhere between good and not quite.
We'll get a color spectrum together.
Precisely.
Because there are, I mean, it's funny that there's a lot of shades. Like, I think you can put the yellow guys in a particular order. I kind of tried to do that in my little list here. But the yellow category is the most fascinating one. But sticking with, you know, Micah Parsons obviously is going to play. He showed up in January.
Yep.
Body-wise, athletically, it's all there. And whether he's a 3-down starter or whether he's a 12, 15, 18 snap, leverage his pass rush skills, whatever, use him on third downs or something like that. Whether it's a niche role or a full-time role, there's something there for Micah Parsons. I think we agree with that. And the impact that he can make, even in limited snaps, could still be great.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I think that obviously he got to campus early with one thing in mind, and that was to play from day one. And he went through spring practice with that same goal, that same intent. And it's at the end of the day, it would be impossible to think he doesn't see the field barring injury. So, yeah, he's absolutely far and away the leader of the pack in that group.
Justin Shorter, Penn State, with some depth there, and you saw guys like KJ Hamler emerge. Mac Hippenhammer emerged this spring. DeAndre Tompkins is still there. Juwan Johnson will be the number one, but I think opposite Juwan Johnson, there's an opportunity. And I also think that, and I've said this a bunch of times, so it's not that original, Justin Shorter, all the skills it takes to get deep and make plays down the field, he's got, where I'm not sure if any other wide receiver in the roster does. I think that's going to stand out pretty early in camp.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that he's a guy that should be able to take a spot and run with it. Maybe not a starting spot right away, but it would be really surprising to me if he doesn't see the field from the get-go. And look, I mean, we've talked about this before, but at some point, you know, the 5-star guys that you get, they should be playing as true freshmen. That's just the way it's supposed to be. It's that way everywhere else for the most part.
Football is gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's almost hard to even fathom that, you know, Micah Parsons or Justin Shorter won't get on the field. Is it possible? Sure, they could get there and not perform the way they're supposed to, and that happens from time to time. But every indication we have says Shorter's not only been improving every year he's been a football player, but also been improving since the end of his senior season and now. So you put those things together, and he's a guy that has instant impact contributor written all over him.
Oh, and he's 6'4", 226 pounds.
Can't forget that fact.
Don't forget that. That's even up a little bit on Penn State's roster release than it was as a recruit. Looking at the yellow category, there's 2 guys who are definitely pushing green right off the bat to me, and probably even a couple more. Jesse Lucchetta, who I thought was really, really impressive. He looked decisive and just looked like he knew what he was doing out there at the blue-white game. I understand the competition and who was on the field and that kind of thing and where he was positioned. That's fine. He just looked the part to me, and at 235 pounds or whatever, he can play the part too. It's not a certain thing, because Ellis Brooks could be a rock in the middle. Cam Brown could improve by leaps and bounds. Jake Cooper could be healthy. Jarvis Miller could take a step. There's all kinds of variables in the linebacker depth chart. I think Lucchetta is a multi-year starter. I still think there's a couple questions whether he plays beyond that four-game threshold this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he's a guy that, as long as Penn State has question marks at linebacker, which, by the way, we probably should have got into it in the news and notes segment, but let's just address the Manny Bowen thing quickly.
Oh, yeah. It's still not... Substantial enough to really be prioritized, but
it's very bizarre. So he puts out a social media post, and it's him and his Penn State jersey celebrating. It was probably a Joe Herman photo. We'll have to check in with him and see how he's doing about that at some
point. Poor Joe is chasing down his pictures all over the place.
But, you know, it was all it said was he typed mood underneath the picture, and it was him celebrating in his jersey. And the comments that mostly came from teammates on that post seemed to imply or indicate that Manny Bowen could be back with the team. We don't know anything more than that at this point. It's all speculation. If Manny Bowen is back, I think, but the reason I bring that up is because I think Jesse Lucado probably doesn't get as much of a chance if Bowen would be reinstated.
Oh, 100%,
to the team.
Yeah.
But if he is not, which again, we don't know one way or the other yet, then I would say that, yeah, Lucado is certainly a guy that he's going to get a chance to get some runs, special team, maybe some deep rotation linebacker work, and then see where things go from there. But yeah, he's also, yeah, 100% a guy that it would be stunning if he didn't at least get a couple of reps this fall.
So the defensive tackles, I'm just going to group them in three here. PJ Mustipher, at the time this class was signed, looked like the only guy who was going to be remotely college ready to play because he was already at 300 pounds. He's listed at 305 now. Judge Culpepper was in the 260 range. Aeneas Hawkins was in the 260 range. Aeneas Hawkins, I guess, is a little, he's a 6'1", 6'2" kind of guy. He's not that big monstrosity defensive tackle. But now you have Judge Culpepper at 296, Aeneas Hawkins at 291, and you have needs. You know, right. you have your Kevin Givens, you have your Robert Windsor. Fred Hansard looks like maybe he's ready. Antonio Shelton has gotten some good buzz. Even if those four are set, you still have needs. And now suddenly that need versus where these guys are in their development, and PJ Mustipher is pretty polished, Judge Culpepper is polished, Aeneas Hawkins is polished. Now you don't have this size issue to be concerned about. I'm so curious how the defensive tackle rotation rounds out, whether if you're going to be number five or number six in that rotation, whether that warrants burning your red shirt.
Yeah, Manny Bowen also retweeted the Nick Saban second chance video the other day.
Okay.
Passionate head coach second chance. So let's keep an eye on that. But no, just to get back on track.
You can't keep an eye off that.
No, I can't. It's fascinating to me. But yeah, the defensive tackle thing is really interesting because Penn State likes to use a lot of guys. Right now, there's no indication that they have enough guys to do that. So that's where these younger guys are going to come into play. Sean Spencer may end up putting them into action simply because the need arose to get that deep into the rotation he likes to use.
We will continue this conversation a little bit later in the week here. I'm sorry for the cliffhanger. It's just there. We're going to pick up where we left off in the next edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to get to ask Greg your Penn State football questions answered coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.